Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody's doing well on this Monday evening, August 31st. Only a few more days for the college football season. I believe 3 days in exact. But anyway, my name is Scott Burks. I'm the creator of the Clown Town Sports Blog. That's Clown spelled with K. And welcome to the Clown Hour. You can find my blog at www.theclowntimes.net. And you can also find me on Facebook. And all my tomfoolery, if you will, and everything else, just do a search for the Clown Times in the search bar and on Facebook, and you'll be able to find me there as well. And you can also find me on Twitter by going Clown Child. That's KLOWNCHYLD underscore 1906, and you'll be able to find me there as well. Since college football will be starting this week, glory, glory, hallelujah. Well, I'm going to be previewing the 2015 ACC football preview, being the Atlantic Coast Conference. It's the conference of my youth. More on that in a moment. And I'm going to do this with the creator and one of the contributors to the All Sports Discussion Sports Blog. It's dedicated to the ACC, all things Atlantic Coast Conference, with my man Jeffrey Fan, or you can see him on Twitter at Jeffrey or Jeff, or I think it's Jeffrey or Jeff Fan on Twitter. So, Mr. Fan, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Scott.
And thank you for joining me. I mean, I've been looking forward to this for a while. As you can probably tell on Twitter, I follow your page a lot, and it's really good. So, speaking of which, could you just tell the people listening right now how you started your All Sports Discussion Sports Blog, how long you've been a sports blogger, and what attracts you to the Atlantic Coast Conference?
Well, what started me, on sports blogging for the ACC is I'm a graduate of Clemson University and also a graduate of Georgia Tech, so I have a lot of ACC ties. I grew up watching ACC basketball, and so I've been around ACC sports for a long time, and I wanted to start the blog. I have a lot of opinions about sports, and I was like, hey, I'm gonna share them here about the ones I follow the most, which was the Atlantic Coast Conference. I've been doing it for 3 or 4 years. We have podcasts on the ACC. I have a co-host. His name is Matthew Warner. You see him on Twitter as Hokie Smash, and we do that. Each week we have a couple of other contributors to the site that help out, and we've covered the ACC the last few years. Just something we enjoy doing. I've contributed some articles to the ACC in the past, and you can find me on Twitter on Talkin' ACC Sports.
Right on, man! I love it. I love it. I love it. So speaking of Hokie Smash, he's pretty hilarious. I enjoy your podcast with him moderating, because he's big on his Hokies. He's really big on his Hokies.
Yeah. And he loves his Hokies, and I kind of let him just run with that, and I'm kind of the straight man on the podcast, so that works out really well.
I hear. So you're the objective. So you're the more objective one, I could tell, on the podcast. So
That's a nice thing. That's a nice thing about being, you know, being a blogger. Since we're not like in, we're not quite in the media, but we follow it. Is we can still have our home ties. So I mean, I'm still rooting for my Tigers and my Yellow Jackets. But we both try to look at it when we look at a team, stay pretty objective. But we do have the teams we root for.
Of course, of course. And one other thing before I go into my home ties to the ACC. So Clemson and Georgia Tech, graduate of both. So how does that work when they play each other, like in football, like the, when the annual cross divisional rivalry games? I'm pretty sure it gets a little heated down there.
I got to be honest. When they play each other, I'm rooting for Georgia Tech because that's where I spent the most time at from my undergraduate, and then I went to graduate school at Clemson. But I live in South Carolina, and all my wife and her family are all Clemson fans, so it's great to root for them, except for that one day of the year where it can get a little uncomfortable.
I bet it can. Yeah, I bet it can. That's when your wife gives you the stink eye. It's like, you know, quote unquote, the look. You know what I mean? From Home Improvement that a few episodes ago, so it's just pretty good stuff. I went to undergraduate at North Carolina State University.
Okay.
You know, I really enjoyed my time in Raleigh, except when I was there, I'm probably a little bit older than you, but when I was there in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, it was during the Mike O'Kane years. That was back when we had the talent, but we couldn't beat Carolina to save our lives. And that really just, it was like I almost waited for the other shoe to drop when it comes to NC State athletics in general, because when I would think we have that year, especially football, we have that year that we'll get over the hump. We're going to make some noise in the conference. And all of a sudden, for whatever reason, that other shoe drops, the ball falls out of the season. I mean, I still have nightmares from our game at Ohio State years ago with, you know, during the Phillip Rivers years when instead of going for the win, down behind, our coach inexplicably, and I'm not going to say his name because when I ever say his name, I get in a really foul mood. He inexplicably went for the field goal instead of to win on the road at the horseshoe, and it still irks me to this very day. I mean, I think what would have been, you know what I mean? So it's like that in basketball too. It's even worse in basketball actually. But at any rate, you can tell I'm pretty scarred. But NC State, I love my Wolfpack still, but damn it, they scarred me. So
you got to be feeling, we're going to talk some ACC, but you got to be feeling a little bit of optimism with your Wolfpack this year. They got themselves a quarterback and got some revenge on the Tar Heels last year.
Yes, we did. I'm pretty happy about it. We actually did well in the bowl game. So speaking of which, let's just get right to it. I was going to ask you who are the teams to be in both divisions, in the Atlantic and the Coastal, but let's just start off with the dark horses since we're talking about NC State. Aside from NC State, who do you think your dark horses are in this coming season?
You said who I think the dark horses will be?
Yes, sir. Who do you think the dark horses will be in the conference this coming season?
Okay, well, I think you know, we just talked about NC State, and I think they are a dark horse. I'm not sure if they're quite equipped, you know, to overtake, you know, Clemson and Florida State this year. But that's a team I really think can take a step forward this year. You know, build on that 8-win season last year. They have a chance to win 9 games, maybe even 10. They have a really favorable schedule. They still have to play Clemson and Florida State and Louisville, but they've got a pretty soft out of conference schedule. Chance for them to start out. Yep, you've got Jacoby Brissett playing quarterback who played really well at the end of last year. I mean, all during the course of the year, he showed, you know, flashes of how good he could be, and when he kind of brought it all together towards the end of the year. I mean, NC State really played with a lot of confidence. I think Louisville is can be a dark horse in the Atlantic Division. They had a lot of players go to the NFL last year, 10, I think, right after Florida State.
Yeah, 10.
They've got a lot of play. They got a lot of talent on defense that didn't play last year. They had the Harvey Clemens kid from Georgia that's going to play this year. Devontae Fields. Yeah, Devontae Fields, who was the Big 12 Player of the Year a couple of years ago and at TCU.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and they got some great linebackers there. I think they're really going to give Auburn a lot of trouble. And so we're going to see right away how good Louisville is in week one. And those are a couple of teams that I think you got to keep an eye on in the Atlantic. In the Coastal, I think most people are looking at Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech as probably the favorites. But another team that I think you need to keep an eye on is Pittsburgh. Pat Narduzzi coming from Michigan State, you know, defensive. He built those great Michigan State Spartan defenses the last few years, and he's going to bring some toughness to Pittsburgh that they've lacked. And you combine him with what should be an improved defense, plus they have the best, in my opinion, the best running back wide receiver combination in the country with James Conner and Tyler Boyd. And those are two All-Americans and two future first and second round picks that are on his offense. Plus they have an experienced quarterback, Chad Vojtic, coming back. I think Pittsburgh, you know, if they can get off to a good start, they have a chance to make a lot of noise. And another team I think that people are really not paying too much attention to, and I'll tell you what, if North Carolina can beat South Carolina on Thursday night in Charlotte,
oh my God,
they're going to start the year 6-1 if they win that game, because there's no team more in the country that can be as inconsistent as North Carolina. I mean, they can look like a top 20 team for four or five games in a row and then look like they've never seen a football or even want to be out there playing in the next three or four. if they can get that momentum going from that first game, no first game matters more to an ACC team than North Carolina. So definitely keep an eye on them if they can beat South Carolina in that opening game.
You know what, man? Speaking of which, I read somewhere that I think it was with the CBSSports.com, one of the websites earlier today, yesterday, not only do a lot of people picking Carolina to possibly win, a lot of people think that it may be a curb stop in Carolina's favor. Here's why: because Carolina has almost all their starters on the offensive side of the ball coming back. Those cats are dynamic. I mean, those cats, I mean, Marquise Williams, Switzer, all those boys, they are dynamic. I mean, sure, I mean, for some reason, they quit against NC State. Let's just call it what it was. They quit against the arch rivals last year.
Right.
So offensively, man, if they're focused and they're right, they can run up 30 points on anybody. I mean, anybody. It's just the defense. I mean, the defense is so bad, myself, and nine other cats can score 30 or 40 on the defense last year. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, and you know, I like Gene Chizik, the hire of Gene Chizik, a lot. I like it a lot. And I think that South Carolina, I mean, they're going to be okay. I don't think they're going to be near as good as they were last year. They lost too many people on both sides of the ball, in my opinion. The defense was kind of suspect last year as well. So I think, to your point, not only should Carolina do well, they should win. I think Carolina should win that game in Charlotte. If they don't win that game in Charlotte, this is going to go south. I really do think that, because it's set up for them to start off well next season. And, you know, Larry Fedora, the head coach, better be careful. If he underachieves this year, you know, there's a certain newly hired defensive coordinator that may take his place. I'm just saying.
I think that's a possibility, and it's a winnable game against South Carolina. Like you said, they're a team that lost quite a bit last year, and that was from previous years. I mean, there are no more Jadeveon Clowney's on that team. There's no more Melvin Ingram. I saw them play when they played against Clemson last year in Death Valley. I couldn't believe how slow I thought South Carolina was on defense. I mean, Clemson, Artavis Scott, the receivers of Clemson, were running all over the field against South Carolina. It's the slowest they've looked in 5 or 6 years. They've got quarterback issues. I think Connor Mitch, they named him this week, but he's a new definitely North Carolina is going to have the advantage at quarterback. The defense of South Carolina, okay, maybe it's not as bad as North Carolina's was last year, but it wasn't a very good defense either. That is definitely a game that North Carolina should go in thinking that they can win. And for the sake of their season, I think it's a really a must win this early in the season for them.
Right, and I do think that. And, you know, to your point about Pitt, a lot of cats are having think Pitt can really do some damage to the Coastal Division. Hell, I think almost anyone outside of Virginia could do damage in the Coastal Division. It's so wide open. But, you know, going back to who I think will come out on top, how's that for a little segue? I think that I have Virginia Tech winning the Coastal Division narrowly by the hair of the chinny chin chin over Georgia Tech. I like both teams this year. I like the fact that Vaught Tech has everyone in defense coming back. And I like the fact that they do not have any serious injuries as of yet on offense, which really hurt them last year. So I think, and they have a favorable schedule outside of Ohio State, more of that game in a moment, but I really think it's set well for Vaught Tech this year for redemption. And I also still, despite the fact that Deshaun Watson is back, he's healthy, and they have a plethora of weapons on offense, they lost so many people on defense, that I think that Florida State with a softer outcome of schedule, I think they're still the kingpin unless proven otherwise. What say you?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you there. I also think Virginia Tech is going to win the Coastal. I think Georgia Tech, and I feel pretty safe in saying this actually, Georgia Tech is the best team in the Coastal Division.
Mm-hmm.
They ended last season playing as well as anybody outside of they finished last season playing as well as anyone who didn't make the playoffs outside
right.
of TCU. I mean, they were outstanding
yeah.
over the final month of the season, beating Clemson, winning at Georgia, 2-point loss to Florida State, and then destroying Mississippi State in the Orange Bowl. I mean, they got a really, really good quarterback, Justin Thomas. He is made to run an option offense. I think he's the best option quarterback since Tommy Frazier when he played at Nebraska. I think he's that good.
Yep.
The problem for Georgia Tech, the problem for Georgia Tech is the schedule. It's a very
mm-hmm.
difficult schedule, and they have to play Florida State and Clemson as their crossover opponents. They got Notre Dame on the schedule. They still have to play Georgia. They have to go to Miami, which can be a tricky game, which is the week before
yep.
Georgia. And they're a top 15 team, and I think they're going to win 8 or 9 games. And Virginia Tech, like you said, because they have that favorable schedule, I think they will even lose at Georgia Tech, but go 6-2 in the conference, while Georgia Tech goes 5-3. They have a great defense. The Hokies, like you said, they have a lot of people coming back. They have a great front four. They have a couple of great All-American. Kendall Fuller is an All-American corner. And if they can get anything out of their offense, and they have a couple more playmakers than they've had in the past, Bucky Hodges might be the conference's best tight end. If they can get any kind of running game, any kind of decent play out of their offensive line, I think this could be a bounce-back year for Virginia Tech. I could see them winning 9 games, but I feel like they're going to win the division really based because Georgia Tech's schedule is so difficult. When you
yeah.
look at the Atlantic Division, I really look at that as a toss-up. It came out today that Florida State named Everett Golson as the starting quarterback, which was absolutely
yeah, was
no
awesome.
Surprise. that was absolutely
shocker.
No surprise to anyone. Yeah, absolute shocker there. The thing you got to keep an eye on with Florida State, I know some people said that they lose quite a bit off the offensive line. They lost a lot of players to the NFL. But they got Dalvin Cook now. He's available. They're all ACC running back. He's going to be available for the start of the season. His off the field case was you know, he was acquitted. He's dismissed. So they're going to be fine with that. But what I really like about Florida State, they open up with a very easy their first 4 games, playing Texas State, South Florida,
Right.
At Boston College, which could be a little bit tricky.
That
Boston
could be
College
tricky.
Is getting,
that could be tricky.
Yes. But they're rebuilding quite a bit, too, at Boston College.
Yeah.
Totally new offensive line, new quarterback. And Florida State's just got more talent than them. Then they play at Wake Forest. And that's almost halfway through the season to kind of get Golson acclimated to the offense, to get some of those young players experience before they play Miami and Louisville. And both of those
yeah.
games are at home. So I have a feeling that Florida State's going to be in the top five at some point during this season. And then they play Georgia Tech, which they still have to go to Georgia Tech and at Clemson, which will be their tricky games. But Florida State's they're going to be in the mix for that Atlantic along there with Clemson. And every time I've looked at Clemson, almost every person that you've discussed Clemson at all always starts and end with Deshaun Watson. If he's healthy,
yeah.
if he stays healthy, I mean, he's a Heisman Trophy caliber quarterback if he can be healthy. If he plays the whole season, I think Clemson is going to get Florida State in Death Valley, but I could see both teams going 11-1, and at worst, maybe for Florida State going 10-2 if Watson plays healthy. If Watson gets hurt, misses a couple games, then unlike last year, I'm not sure if Clemson's defense can carry the team the way it did last year. Last year was like a number one ranked defense in the country, and they have Vic Beasley and Corey Crawford, I think. I mean, a couple of NFL draft picks, and they were able to carry Clemson through most of the quarterback issues when Watson wasn't playing. I don't that won't happen this year. I don't think they're going to be a decent defense, a quality defense, but not an elite group. He has to stay healthy if Clemson's going to reach the potential that they're going to try to reach this year under Dabo Swinney. So if Watson stays healthy, I give them the edge over Florida State in the Atlantic Division. Got Clemson playing Virginia Tech in the title game.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Clemson, as much as I love Clemson's talent, I mean, Dabo Swinney, that's one heck of a recruiter, to say the least. There's so many ifs, to your point. You said a lot of ifs. If Deshaun Watson stays healthy, if the defense, that young talent defense, gets gels at Clemson, I think Florida State, they have their own set of question marks, namely how Golson will perform, even though I think he'll do well. They have by far the fewest ifs with the lighter schedule. Now, I think those two things are the biggest differences in the world. But let me just ask you this. Speaking of teams with maybe a couple question marks who are competitive, who should be competitive this year, am I crazy for thinking of Louisville maybe the second best team record-wise in the Atlantic Division?
I don't think it's out of the question, but I'm not sure yet if Louisville's quite at the level of a Clemson and a Florida State over the course of the whole season. And the reason
sure.
I say that is when you look at last year, Louisville was a really solid team last year. They won 9 games. They won at Notre Dame. But they still lost to Florida State at home in kind of a second-half collapse after that. They led 21
yeah.
or 24-0 early in the game with a lot of NFL talent on that defense. They lost to Clemson, and it was a close game. But Clemson was also starting Cole Stout at quarterback, not Deshaun Watson, who had all kinds of issues last year, except for, you know, in the Oklahoma bowl game where he played very well. And
right.
they weren't able to finish Clemson off. And then when they played in the bowl game against Georgia.
They got bashed.
You know, yeah, they got bashed pretty good against a similarly talented team. You know, Georgia's kind of at that level. Recruits at that level of a Florida State and Clemson, so they basically went 0-3 against the three best teams that they played. So I'm not ready to say that Louisville is at that level. They're a solid program. They're a solid team. I think they're going to win 8 or 9 games again this year. They're a great addition to the ACC, but I'm not sure they might be a couple of years away from being able to beat a Florida State or a Clemson.
You know what? That's true. It's one of those things that I'm, as much as this, I'm not a big fan of this guy's personal life, but Bobby Petrino, he's one heck of a coach. He's so proven, you know, where he's going. You know, Louisville for the first time around, then at Arkansas, he made it to a top 10 team in 2 years, you know, with Ryan Mallett, like, swinging on the rock. But, I mean, it's something about Bobby Petrino, where he's been. You know, they have a lot of talent on defense, you know, with the aforementioned Fields and Harvey Clemens on that side of the ball. I just think that for all the turmoil the ACC went through, it's like losing Maryland was probably the best thing that's happened to the league, because they bring in a more competitive athletic school like in Louisville. So as far as Maryland goes, I still say this, but good riddance, Maryland. We don't miss you.
you're right about that. And we've had Louisville guys on our podcast before, and they're really thrilled to be in the ACC. And I think most ACC fans are thrilled to have Louisville. And just like you said, their athletics program has been outstanding. I mean, they had a solid football program. They made it to the Elite Eight in basketball. Their baseball team was in the top 10 most of the year. Their women's basketball team, I think, went to the Elite Eight or Sweet 16 this year. And they just have an all-around great athletics program. And they've been a great addition to the conference. And just as you said, Bobby Petrino, he is a great coach. And I think in a year or two, he will have Louisville at that level where they're competing right there with Clemson and Florida State. And you can look at it like those will be three top 15 teams. I just don't think he's quite there yet this year.
Fair enough.
Still, on that Thursday night when they host Clemson, it's not out of the question they can pull that upset. I mean, in a one game set, they can win that game.
Yeah, and that place is going to be bananas. I mean, that's such a great atmosphere. I remember that place, the atmosphere when they played Florida State last year. I mean, it's a great atmosphere, and Louisville's just been great. Thank God for Louisville. Thank God for Louisville. Speaking of teams of talent, this one team, particular team, that I remember, again, I'm a little bit older than you, but I remember from the 80s, throughout my childhood, that had that talent, that to go with that swagger, you know, the coach and everything, the University of Miami Hurricane. I mean, it's baffling to me because they have so much dang talent. They're probably the most talented team in the Coastal Division. And to see them, especially with all the draft picks they had this past year, to see them win only six games, go 6-7 with that talent, and they have more talent coming in this year and even more talent coming in the following year. So with all that said, is this or should this be Al Golden's last stand in Coral Gables, Florida?
Well, I was a kid, but I remember those teams from the late 80s and stuff. I think we're closer on age than I went to school to college in around those 90s too, so I think we're pretty close on remembering these teams. absolutely. But you're right about Al Golden. I mean, they had some talent on those teams, on that team last year. I think they had five or six players drafted into the NFL. Duke Johnson there was at running back. I mean, they had great skill position. And I know he had to deal with the NCAA stuff for a few years there. You know, they had the postseason ban and lost the scholarships. And I think people were pretty patient with him. There wasn't really too much pressure.
Right.
But I think now the pressure is really starting to build up. And you're really starting to look at, like, can he get it done? I mean, he had a quality quarterback last year, even though he was a freshman, Brad Kaya. And after that Florida State loss, they kind of just checked out for the rest of the season. And since the year before when they started 7-0, I believe, I mean, they've really struggled. They played poorly, really poorly the year before in the bowl game with Louisville. They lost last year in the bowl game to a mediocre South Carolina team. And I think that the Heat is really getting turned up on Golden, and he's getting no favors with the schedule this year. He's got to play the crossover games with Florida State and Clemson, but unlike Georgia Tech, who I think can manage this schedule and still win 8 or 9 games, if not the division, I don't think Miami is going to be able to handle their schedule. And unless Brad Kaya just turns it on and can just simply just take over, you know, that team and that program and just kind of carry it on his back, I think the pressure would be really on Golden by the end of the year if they have another 6 or 7 win type season.
Yeah.
They should be a lot better than what they are.
Yeah, I know. They should win at least 8 or 9. If they don't win 8 or 9, I think Golden's done. Despite the fact that he has one of the top recruiting classes coming in 2016. And it's shameful because, again, he's a for a good of as good a recruiter that Golden has proven in South Florida. I mean, look at the cast that he's bringing in. It's just that for some reason, it's just a disconnect. I don't know if it's bad coaching. I don't know what it is in the locker room. I mean, but there's some cries from fans out there to get rid of his defensive coordinator. It's just a hot mess. I mean, so I don't know. I part of me thinks that being that Golden stuck with the U throughout this lean years, thanks to the sanctions, the cloud of sanctions hanging over the program's head, I think, and plus with the class he's got coming in next season. Again, one of the tops in the country. I think they should give him one more year, just for the sake of his loyalty to the school. He could have gone to Penn State. He could have run away, but he chose to stay, to stick it through, to take the youth, to guide the youth throughout the storm, which he's done. But I think he should get one more year with that class he has coming in next year. But how about this? Let me just throw this at you. And I swear I just thought about this off the top of my head just now. What do you think about the possibility of Lane Kiffin coming to Southeast? Lane Kiffin at the U, restoring the swagger. I'm just saying, it may not. I don't think it will happen, but given his track record. But I'm just saying, it's so tantalizing just to at least think about that.
I think it'd be great for publicity. I think it'd be kind of a huge name hire, but I am not a fan of Lane Kiffin. I never understood how he at such a young age he was ending up with these great jobs coaching the Raiders and Tennessee and then USC and really never accomplishing that much as a head coach. I think he does a pretty decent job as an offensive coordinator. I thought Alabama's offense last year was pretty good, and he utilized Amari Cooper really well. And if I'm remembering right, Blake Sims was the quarterback at Alabama last year.
Right.
Is that right?
That's right.
And I thought he did a pretty good job with the Alabama offense, but I'm not sure if we want him as your head coach.
But how about talk about a circus that would be. that would be the ultimate circus. But I got a couple of things to throw at you, and then I'll get you out of here. So about the it just talks about the ACC channel. You know, there's some talk going back and forth, and I bring this up because you know it's football season, and football pays bills. But and I think in the ACC's case, in addition to football, we have the best. I don't care what anybody says. We have the best college basketball conference in the country. Big 12, shut your mouth. Big 10, go back to your room. I think we have hands down, especially this coming season, we're going to be absolutely bananas. We have one of the best baseball conferences in the country. We have the best, not many people care about this, across conference in the country. What I'm trying to say is we have the inventory, we have the cachet, we have the markets, the media markets. To pull it off, we don't have to have as much carriage because they have like Raycom Sports carrying some ACC games throughout football and basketball season. and they have the infrastructure in Charlotte already set up for it. So do you think the ACC channel will be a reality? And if so, would it be much sooner or much later than we all would anticipate?
Well, to go along with what you just said about the basketball, the ACC, they had a few lean years there a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Based on, you know, on their history, you know, they were, for a good portion of the ACC's history, they were the best basketball conference in the country. And then I would say the Big East overtook them, and even the Big Ten in some ways overtook them the last few years. But I think last
sure.
year, the ACC reestablished itself as the premier basketball conference in the country. Duke winning the national title. There were five ACC teams in the Sweet 16. You know,
yes.
Your NC State knocking off number one seed Villanova. This is a team that finished in the middle of the pack of the ACC and knocked off the number one seed. Notre Dame gave us Kentucky as good a game as any team did last year outside of losing to Wisconsin. And the ACC is really, really deep with basketball-wise. And, you know, I think that does factor into a channel. And as far as that, one of the best writers in the ACC, David Teal, who writes for Daily Press in Virginia, and he does a great job. He has put about as much information out there and is in tune with John Swofford as any journalist in the that covers the ACC. What you see right now is it's gotten really, really quiet. There are no statements coming out from Swofford. No ADs
mm-hmm.
are talking about it. But in the background, you hear the buzz that this network is on its way, that it's in the works. And I really believe that it is on the way, because if it weren't, you would just make the statement that it's not coming. I mean, you're not going to indefinitely say they're just talking about it. I think they're in the closing stages of getting these negotiations done with ESPN. And my feeling from some of the things Teal has put out, and from some of the other guys that cover the ACC on a daily basis, I think 2017 is going to be the year that it launches. And I do think we'll have an ACC network. And I think it'll be now a little bit sooner than later. I don't think it's 5-6
yeah.
years down the road.
Right.
I'm thinking 2017 will likely be the year for it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I'm thinking that, you know, they lost the legwork were made behind the scenes. And I think that, especially given that Swofford is known as the ninja commissioner anyway, when according to David Teal, when he put a moratorium on the talks outside of the conference, like regarding the status of the ACC channel, that tells me that it's in the works and they're pretty far along. And they don't want to tip any hands or tip the negotiations. So I think that's it. But just a wild card question. Do you see any scenario where the possible negotiations may or may not involve Notre Dame football? Because Notre Dame has its own NBC channel, NBC contract, I get that, like $15 million per year or something like that. But do you think it's a possibility, another reason why is because they're trying to figure a way to possibly entice Notre Dame behind the scenes?
You know, that's a really interesting question. And just today, Dennis Dodd from CBS Sportsline, he put out
yeah.
25 bold predictions for college football. And at the very last, his very last prediction was the ACC will get a network, and soon after, a major independent, you know, hint, wink, wink, will also join the conference. And I mean, from what I know about Notre Dame, I kind of just can't see it at the moment.
Right.
I mean, I think they are part of that, you know, part of that discussion, because if the ACC gets a network, you know, all their basketball games and Olympic sports will be on the ACC network. and probably a
couple of football
games still, because of, my understanding is when Notre Dame goes to an ACC home site of a, you know, if they go to a Clemson or a Virginia Tech, that's a game that could be eligible for an ACC network. So I think they are involved, I think, from that level. But it's hard for me to see Notre Dame joining the ACC here in the next two or three years. Notre Dame, they're really fiercely holding on to their independence. And
yes, they are.
They've made their name on that, on scheduling nationally and playing games across the country and staying independent. Now, that said, I think at some point, I believe Notre Dame will join the ACC. I don't really see it in the next two or three years, but maybe 10 years from now, you're already hearing rumblings from other coaches talking that, you know, Notre Dame needs to play a conference schedule. The committee made it pretty clear last year that they want teams to win their conference, and they're giving weight to that. And if Notre Dame is an independent and they lose a couple games without that conference championship game, you know, fair or not, it may play a role. So at some point, I do think they will join the ACC. I don't see it in the near future. But, you know, with John Swafford, if he were to pull that off and have it some kind of joint announcement of a network in Notre Dame, I that would be like the most ninja move ever of any commissioner of the last 20 years. I mean, that was just one of those things where he'd be on stage and he just drops the mic and walks off stage or something.
Can you imagine him just all folksy and all calm and classy, just says that and just drops the mic with Jack Swarbrick standing beside him by doing Running Man? You know,
it'd
just be hilarious.
That would be unbelievable. But you know, there's a little bit of you know, noise about that Notre Dame, but I really can't see it for the next couple of years. But I think eventually, I think it'll happen.
Right. I mean, especially when you're talking dollars and cents, you know, anything's possible. One more thing a couple more things. As far as the opening weekend, you know, the ACC has big games. You know, I mentioned the aforementioned Vitek, Ohio State game, Louisville, Auburn. We already gave our little pronunciations on South Carolina and UNC. How do you think we will fare, this conference will fare after week one, going against the likes of Auburn and Ohio State this weekend?
Well, I've been saying this for the last month, and I hope I don't get proven wrong. I've been saying that one of those games, an ACC team is going to win. Louisville is going to beat Auburn, or Virginia Tech is going to beat Ohio State again. One or the other is going to happen, is what I've been saying. So, and I still feel like that those two teams are good enough. If they catch Auburn or Ohio State on the off day, they can win either one of those games. Louisville is bringing 30 or 35,000 fans down to the Georgia Dome, so it's not going to be a virtual home game for Auburn. And they're going to have a lot of fans there, but there's going to be a lot of Louisville fans there. And Virginia Tech, they've already proven that they can beat Ohio State. I mean, they did
right.
it in the Horseshoe, in Ohio State. At Ohio State in Columbus last year, they don't have to go into that game feeling like that, you know, they have an impossible task. I think for them to beat Ohio State is exactly the blueprint is the same as it was last year. If they can run the ball, if they can rush for 125 yards or more in that game, if they can establish running game, I think their defense is good enough, you know, not to completely stop Ohio State. I don't think any team in the country can completely stop them, but I think that Virginia Tech's defense is the best defense Ohio State will have played since the last time they played.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that, you know, Alabama fans are probably going to be irate if they hear this, but Virginia Tech's defense is better than Alabama's was last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, talent-wise, at least, I mean, until those injuries hit.
Right. And then a couple of the other opening games, we talked. Go ahead.
No. I was just agreeing with you. So my bad on that.
Okay. Yeah, and we talked about North Carolina, South Carolina. I think that game is an absolute toss up. You got two teams that are trying to get into game one, and trying to build something for the season. You know, both have huge question marks, pretty shaky defenses. The one thing that could be in North Carolina's favor, they're better at quarterback than South Carolina.
Yes.
And the other ACC game, yeah, much better. And the other ACC game, and this is the kind of game that, you know, as I want ACC teams to do well out of conference, because that benefits the teams that I root for and that I talk about, is Virginia playing UCLA is also on the schedule. And I don't understand. We've been bringing up stuff all year on our podcast is why Virginia schedules the way they do. And this is the kind of game where Virginia is really probably overmatched playing UCLA, and it might even turn into a blowout. Yeah, and it might even turn into a huge blowout for the Bruins, but then it becomes a black eye for the ACC. Like, oh, Pac-12 won, ACC 0, when you're taking, you know, a dark horse college playoff team playing arguably one of the worst teams in the ACC, and they really scheduled this game for that they had no business scheduling. Their whole
right.
I've had a big problem with Virginia scheduling all year, them scheduling the Oregons and the Boise States and the UCLAs over the last couple of years. Just over scheduling. It's bad for your program. It's bad for them. They're not at that level where they should be playing those kind of games right now.
Right. That's just, I think Mike Lund just wants to quit. I think he just wants to go home and take his ball with him and collect his checks. I think he just wants out at this point. One last question. Who will win the ACC championship this year, and will that get them into the college football playoffs?
And a 12-1 ACC champion will get into the playoffs if they finish 12-1. And I think that it is going to be Clemson to win the championship. But as we've said today, and we said all year, and everyone says it, it's all dependent on how Deshaun Watson, if he can stay on the field for an entire year. He takes a team that's maybe a top 30 type team that would be ranked around 25 to 30 into a legitimate top 10 team. He's that good if he can stay healthy. And I think a one-loss ACC team does make it into the playoffs. I think the conferences now, they're so bunched together. I mean, I still give the edge a little bit to the SEC and the Pac-12. I think they're a little bit ahead overall of everyone else. I'm not going to make that statement. The ACC is on par. They're not. But no. I think they've more than proven over the last two or three years that they have quality teams. Florida State won a national title. Clemson's had several huge wins. Georgia Tech was a top 10 team last year. Boston College beat a top 10 USC team. Virginia Tech beat Ohio State. I mean, there's really high quality football being played in the league, and they've done it where they needed to do it. They've won big out of conference games. So I don't think I question anyone that quickly puts the ACC at the bottom of the Power Five. I question that, because I really don't think they're really looking at the results of what's been happening on the field. You know, it's not 2006 or 2007 when the ACC was really struggling. This is a conference that once went 6-1 the last 3 years against in a Big Six bowl. That's the best record of any Power Five conference.
Yeah, right. And it's just always that perception, man. That's why, you know, they have to adopt, and they've been adopted, the late Al Davis slogan by saying, just win, baby. Just win, baby.
Yeah,
but I think
absolutely right.
Yeah, they have to win. I got Florida State winning this conference. Again, I think, you know, the schedule is not as daunted as Clemson's. And if they can get, if they're able to win out of Clemson or at Georgia Tech, finish the season 12-1. I think that's enough to get them in. I don't think that you have any undefeated teams this season to begin with. So I think that that's good enough to get them into the playoff. So I'd be shocked if anything else happens, otherwise happens. But I think that the conference is very competitive. I think it's stronger than it's been in recent seasons. And I'm excited, man. I'm so excited. But thanks a lot, Jeff. I appreciate you coming on, and I had some fun with this. Maybe we'll do this again later season, possibly with Hokie Smash.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that he would enjoy it, and I appreciate you having me on. It was a lot of fun just talking ACC football.
Right on, man. Take care.
Jordan, okay, season. Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right, peace out. That's my guy, Jeffrey Fan from All Sports Discussion Sports Blog. Previewing the ACC to 2015. That was fun. I really enjoyed that. And to his point, to Jeff's point, it's unfair that ACC is getting bad fun. College football season as well, but we'll see about that. We'll see about that, what they do on Upland weekend, if they can make a statement or not. But anyway, thank you for tuning in. Scott Burks, the Clan Hour, signing off. 06, y'all. Good night.